Kia ora, everyone. That was the start of the Fresh Choice Kepler 2020, and this is our Kepler special show. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
And this is Dirt Church Radio. Interesting conversations with interesting runners.
It's Eugene here. This cool thing happened at the end of Kepler, when I finished the grunt on Saturday. So when you come across the line at Kepler, there's a tradition that they give away some of the spot prizes there. And then when I crossed the line, there was an announcement. Here's Eugene Bingham, and he has won a spot prize. So I went and collected my spot prize, and it was from Wild Things. So it was for a year's VIP, free VIP membership of Wild Things. Now, Matt and I had a chat, and we thought, well, you know, we have a relationship with Wild Things, as you know. We have that great deal with them. So what about we pay it forward? And so we spoke to Mel and Sal, and they said, great idea. So here's the deal. If you sign up for VIP membership of Wild Things before the end of December, using the Wild Things DCR code, which is DCR 2020, you will get to go in the draw to win my spot prize. So that would be, you would pay for your 12 months, you get 15 months because of the DCR code, DCR 2020, and you go in the draw to get an extra 12 months free. So you'd pay your $49, which would normally cost you, would normally be the cost for 12 months, but you'd actually get 15 months because of the DCR code. And then if you're the winner, you get another 12 months free. What a deal. Go for it. Use the code DCR 2020 on the wildthings.club website to sign up for VIP membership before the end of December. Boom.
Matt, after Kepler, I have two questions for you. One, how were your Scotch shoes?
My Scotch shoes were perfect. I ran in the Kinabalu RC Ultra on a very wet and muddy course, and they hooked up perfectly. I couldn't have been happy with them. I fell over once, but that was user error, not the shoe's fault. If you go to scottrunning.nz and get the goods. They've got a new shipment in. I don't know how much they sold at Kepler, but get amongst them.
They sold a bunch at Kepler. But there were a bunch left over as well, yeah, weren't they, for Grant to sell. I also ran them. They were amazing. In fact, it was my first run in them. Sweet ass.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to convey how good they were. I mean, we're currently crouched by the bins at Queenstown Airport because we were so excited to tell the world how good the Scott Kinabalu RC Ultra is. If you go to scottrunning.nz and get a pair, you'll be happy.
My second question for you is the big question of Kepler Weekend. How many times did Rocky have the Further Faster jingle sung at him this weekend?
Well, if I was to read the research paper, my N would be one, because I yelled it in his face as I was running back down the hill towards him, and the man behind me, who didn't recognise that, you know, I didn't correct him, like, oh, I wrote it, mate, he said, oh man, advertising really works, and it does. So if you go to furtherfaster.co.nz, New Zealand's number one independent outdoors retailer, and either write the words, email him the words, or when you see it, just shout it into his face. He loves it.
He really does. I did spend quite a bit of the descent at Kepler. You know how you get songs stuck in your head? Yes. And I was going, I know that Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious, but what are Rocky and Badger? And it took me quite a while to remember, because you know you get fuddled when you, yeah, but you know when you're running and you're tired. And then I remembered. So that was good.
The other thing you really have to remember, and again, he really does it, you know, Rocky's the dog, okay, and Badger is the man. So there we go. Go to Further Faster now.
You're a bad, bad man.
Go to Further Faster now.
Go Further Faster there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
Dirt Church Radio.
I feel like I've been shot out of a cannon.
Well, it is episode 22, 122.
122, and we made it.
We did. We did. We made it up and down a mountain even.
We did.
We have our traditional post-Kepler, we feel like we've been run over by trucks, voices on.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like an octave lower than my normal talking voice, but that's cool.
Yeah. So it's, you know, traditionally on a Sunday after Kepler, we wake up and, well, when I say traditionally, the last 3 years, try to make sense of another great Kepler weekend. So we've got a bunch of stuff to get through, including some quick interviews we got done with some real characters. We've got our live show, which we recorded down here featuring Scotty Hawker and Fiona Love. And I must say, it was
everyone was great at their live show.
Absolutely.
Some really good pearls of wisdom from people.
Yeah.
And they were really fascinating. And so what we'll do is we'll just crack into it because we've got a lot to get through, right? So can you just set the scene for us, Matt? If no one has ever heard of Kepler before, what is it?
So this is the 34th. Yeah, is it? I'd like to say either. I think it's the 34th year that the event's been run. It's a not-for-profit local fundraising event that was done for the first time to basically fund the boardwalks up through the. It was supposed to be a once-off, and it was done to commemorate an anniversary of Quinton McKinnon, who was the first European who sort of found the land. Overland from Milford Sound to Fiordland. I say first European because Māori were doing it for a long time before that. But anyway, and it was supposed to be a one and done, but it proved so popular that, you know, all these years later, here we are. And there's two aspects to it, which is the 60-kilometre challenge and the 27-kilometre grunt. And it's held in a town called Te Anau, which is in sort of the gateway to Fiordland, isn't it? Down on sort of the western half of the western side of the South Island.
Right down south.
Yeah, right down
stunning,
south.
Stunning part of
just
the country.
Just a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah. Southland.
Yes. And look, for the second year in a row.
That's my alarm. Wake up, Matt. Carry on.
For the second year in a row, the committee had to make the call that due to severe weather conditions, the race was run on an alternative course, which meant running up to Mount Luxmore and back again. So it was the same as the grunt course. So the people who did the grunt course did the grunt, and the people who did the challenge did the grunt, and with like an upsize of another 30 kilometres of running. And so, yeah, you do the grunt, run out along the Waia River to make up the distance. And, you know, in fact, on Friday night when we were, you know, all in the hall, we were told that there was the possibility we wouldn't even be able to get up to the Luxmore Hunt. Hunt, God, Luxmore Hut.
There's going to be no hunting up Mount
Luxmore. There's going to be no hunting up Mount Luxmore.
Yeah.
And that we'd get turned around at the tree line. So, yeah, let's kick things off. We got a lot to get through. So the first thing we're going to, you know, go to is on race day itself, preparing, tucked away behind a truck at the on the start line, near the start line, waiting to find out exactly what the course would be. Let's get into it.
Dirtchurch Radio.
So it's the morning of Kepler. We have gone and tucked ourselves around a corner. It's like we're going for a sneaky wee, actually. But we're preparing to send Matt off on the Kepler Challenge. How are you feeling this morning, Matt?
Yeah, I feel remarkably casual about the whole thing, but and at the same time not, which is, I guess, a good thing. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest, which isn't really good podcasting content, but I know that I slept really well and got here, and I've got my... I say every year the same thing. I've got my compulsory gear and my shoes and my food, and everything else will take care of itself. So, it's...
And, I mean, first of all, most of all, it's just bloody good to be here, isn't it?
It's so good. This whole weekend's been like, oh my gosh, you know, we're actually doing it. And walking into the hall, I don't know if you got that sense yesterday, I was a little bit like, and I walked in and there were so many people in the hall for the briefing. But yeah, it's just really good to be here. And we've been saying it all the time, isn't it? And finally here, and just need to get it done now. So... and have a good and have a really good day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing, isn't it? I mean, there's been all this talk of the weather, and we don't know what the conditions are going to be like up the mountain. We still don't know yet whether we're going to be able to go beyond the tree line. I saw Steve earlier, Steve Norris, race director, standing there on the phone, probably communicating with people up the mountain, mountain men, mountain women.
Mountain people.
Mountain people. People of the mountain. Hopefully no mountain lions. Making a decision as to whether we'll go beyond the tree line and up to the hut. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. They're having to make these sorts of calls with our safety in mind. And so we trust them to do that because, you know, that's what their job is. And we're just grateful to be able to get to run.
That's right. I mean, that's the thing. Grateful to be able to get to run and grateful. And you think back to the start of the year,
they would have, there would have been so many times throughout this period, you know, like when Auckland went into second lockdown, where they just would have had their head in their hands, I'm sure about it, you know, and their business, you know, like he said at the live show yesterday, their briefings, their businesses have suffered,
yeah,
and their livelihoods have suffered, and you know, it's not like they're making a bank out of this, right? Like, it's not like this is, you know, you get the opportunity to make, you know, a call, you know, however much it is. They're volunteers,
yeah,
but it's what it brings to the area, and it's just fantastic to get to be here.
Yeah, it's a strange feeling in that the weather is so much better than last year at the start line. Remember last year at the start line,
yeah,
it was so cold, so wet. We were hid in the car with Harry and Katie,
yeah,
not wanting to get out because, and Saywan, not wanting to get out because it was just so freezing and so wet. And here we are, we're standing along, it's quite balmy, you know?
Oh, we're not balmy.
Are you cold?
Yeah, I've got gloves on and a toque and everything. I'm cold.
I'm standing here in my undies and singlet. I'm not, dear listeners, sorry if you don't stop listening because of that. But yeah, it's odd, but it's up the mountains where we're going to encounter the weather.
Absolutely.
Make sure you have your compulsory gear and your transponder on. Now, I've just had the official word, the weather forecast is exactly the same as it was last night. However, you will be going to the hut. They have made the call. I've just had the word. You will be going to Luxmore Hut and back down. So that's good news. At least you don't get to turn around at the bush line. Get out, get amongst the elements. And hopefully there's no lightning strikes up there when you're up there.
Breaking news. So, in case you didn't hear that, they just said we're going to be able to go to the hut. Woohoo!
Yeah, stoked. I thought, if a modicum of disappointment if we'd have got turned around at the tree line, just because I feel selfish. You know, it's a selfish thing. It's like, I like going to the hut. I'm glad that the right call's been made. And, yeah, it's going to be great fun. So excited.
Don't get too excited, though, Matt. Just because you're excited you go to the hut does not mean you're allowed to crash down off the mountain. Not literally, but, you know, smash yourself down off the mountain. Take your time. Save your quads.
Yes.
Be ready to go like that V8 engine when you get to the turnaround at
Motoro.
Motoro. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forget. I was going, why was it going Rainbow Reach? I always do that. Don't turn around at Rainbow Reach.
I might do.
Well, if you do that, you might come back with a PB.
Yeah.
But no, just enjoy yourself.
Planning too. And you too.
Thanks, man.
Rocky.
Good morning. How are you? I'm super ready to go.
Man, you just came striding along the path there like a man possessed.
Oh, it's, you know, pre-race.
Yeah.
Nerves equal action.
Nervous wee?
No, I'm fine. I'll be good. I'll make a couple
taking,
of coffees.
Taking care of that?
A couple of coffees down my neck, if I can. Get ready to rock and roll. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Let's do it.
Time, no time for talk now. It's time for action.
And here's Alan Ewer, photographer to the stars. We're looking very what?
Bright.
Bright.
Not as in intelligent, but as in like sparkly. Well, not intelligent.
Is it my,
I'm digging
is
myself
it,
a
is
hole.
Is it my aura?
You're just sparkly.
Oh, that's good. I feel I had slept really well, which is good because I've been sleeping awful. See you, Bill. Yeah.
And no. So you're doing the full event today?
Yes.
Good on you, champion.
Yeah.
Good and on you. And Eugene, you're doing the grunt?
I'm doing the grunt. I'm doing the grunt. Everyone's doing the grunt.
Oh, that's true.
Just some people are doing an extra grunt.
Yeah.
Good
on
you.
An extra loop. Yeah, an extra out and back. How are you feeling?
I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how does this affect you guys?
Oh, we went from everything to nothing.
Yeah.
But it's all on again now.
Yeah.
And no, I'm just extremely grateful. Yeah, overwhelmingly so.
Everyone's out in good positions?
We have excellent positions. We're fully across it.
The photos from Kepler are the best.
Thanks, mate.
They really are. They're just superb.
Well, as I say, I'm just grateful to be here. And it's a great opportunity that we're afforded the opportunity. You know,
yeah.
What a foot in the door. I would never thought.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were saying that before, that there would have been so many times this year, and everyone's had that emotion, and I've had that emotion with Sean. It's not going to happen. It's happening. Oh, no, it's not going to happen again. Oh, it might happen. You know, that sense of, and that, just that sense of, yeah, that sense of, you almost repeat it like it's a mantra, but it's that sense of being grateful for being here, right? Just so privileged and happy to be here.
No, it's a great opportunity.
How many photographers out on course today?
There's four of us, myself, Dom Channon, Sean Beale, and Richard Rossiter.
Ooh, firepower.
Yeah. So we brought the big guns out for this. We're not mucking around. We're here to do the best job we can. And while there's some pressure, you know, we're just going to have fun. We all really want to be here, like yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what brings a vibe to this race. Everyone wants to be here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be going up in the chopper.
Oh, nice. Woo-hoo. One.
It's my first time. Normally I send the boys up, but I've actually just come and ride up a bit of shingles and I feel pretty tired all the time, so I'm going to take it a little bit easier and have a bit of fun with it. So, yeah, you'll see me up there.
Oh, good on you. Well, have a blast, mate.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Enjoy. Nice to see you, boys.
All right, bro.
To church.
Hey.
Nobby. Nobby Clark, official starter. Eugene from Dirt Church Radio Podcast. So you've started 30 times. Towed the start line.
I've finished
30 times.
Yeah, you get your medals based on finishing.
Yeah. So what's your advice for people? I mean, it's a bit late. We should have given it before. But what's your advice for people doing this event?
Go slow to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've done the full track 3 times.
Yeah.
And the grunt 27 times. Never run fast downhill. That's one of the keys.
Yeah.
So these guys are going to go up to the hut today and come back down. The ones of the front runners, they'll cope with that. But the ones in the middle of the pack, they'll run flat out downhill. You wait and see. And then when they get on the flat, they've still got a full marathon to go.
Yeah.
And that's when it hurts.
That's where it pays.
Fronts of the legs are terrible.
The quads will be smashed.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So pace yourself coming back down as much as
you
going up.
You can always go faster. If you go too fast, there's only one way from there, isn't it?
Yeah. How big of an honour is it to start the race?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have any nervous moments?
No, not at all. No. No. It was all really good to do that. And I'll start the next one as well.
Brilliant. Well done.
Have a good day.
Cheers.
So, that was that. Off you raced.
Mm.
And then it was amazing because as you took off, as the Kepler people took off from the start line, you went one way. It was sunny. And then as you left, the clouds arrived and it just started absolutely hosing down at the start line. And then 2 hours later, the grunt started and off I ran. So the weather conditions, I think it'd be fair to say they weren't as gnarly as I feared they would be. But certainly you could see why they'd made the call that they did. It was fairly – I sound very wheezy.
Mm.
It was very the up on top it was freezing cold, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was colder than last year. I think that what we didn't have going for us what we had last year was the wind.
Yeah.
And I think if the wind had been up, we would have been buggered.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a good crack of lightning that came through, which was, you know, it was like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, I was coming down off the hut then. I was coming down the boardwalk, and when the lightning, I thought about you guys. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like everyone, you would have been just at the start line or just starting.
No. And I was talking to Sarah Douglas, who won the grunt, and she said, oh, I was at the bluffs about to head out to the tree line, and there was a massive crack of thunder.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, yeah, I was at Broad Bay when that happened. So some 8 kilometres back. But, it was – so you could see why they'd had to make the call they did. It was all to do with safety, really, you know, both in terms of participants out there but also the rescue.
And
the volunteers, absolutely. But actually, when I got up on top, the clouds parted and I could see the lake for a little bit. So
that's good.
It's very lucky. But anyway, how did you go, Matt?
Yeah, it was, I mean, a very powerful race. And
I could say you're scarred by it.
Yeah, I'm actually literally scarred by it. So the second time in the last 3 years, I fell over. And, but I finished there. Look, it's been a tough year. We all had a lot going on. I had a very specific plan,
yeah,
and I stuck to that plan, and I stuck to it completely. I found it much more challenging, the first half much more challenging than I've ever found. This is my fifth start at Kepler, I never found it so challenging, and I wanted to drop when I came through the control gates the second time. I just was like,
mentally, physically.
I found myself running a lot by myself, trying just not run off the hill like a dickhead as I did last year.
Wasn't that funny? Because I mean, that was your plan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To not smash yourself coming down off the hill. But when we looked at the splits later on, it turned out that you ran pretty similar time coming down the mountain, but you were so much better prepared.
Going up the mountain and coming back down. Going up to the hut and coming back down. Yeah. That was the thing.
You've had this training with Scotty, and so you were prepared for it. So it's funny, isn't it, that you felt like you were cruising down the mountain and you're actually going about the same pace.
Yeah. So but by the time we got to the control gate, I was dead set. I was going to drop out. And then, you know, I think about my sister. I think about all the people who aren't able to do this.
Yeah, and my sister's in the UK.
Yeah, my sister's in the UK.
Had COVID.
All that stuff. Mm. And I was like, oh. And kept going and just felt better the whole race.
Yeah.
Just felt better and better and better and better and better and better. And in classic, you know, it was amazing out on the course. So many people were very friendly, very encouraged, you know, very encouraging. There was lots of go mats. There was lots of.
I got two go mats. But I got a lot of go dirt church.
Yeah,
and go dirt church as well. So that's nice.
And it was
thank you to everyone who said that.
Absolutely, thank you. There was a lot of energy lift, and it was cool to be able to interact with people coming back the other way. I mean, seeing Dan Jones looking so relaxed, seeing Scotty working so hard, and you know, West and Vajan, it was amazing.
Mm.
And then I you know, met some really wonderful people along the way.
Yep.
And you know, some profound stuff, some you know, really lovely. lovely interactions, very profound interactions, powerful interactions, and then fell over and really hurt myself, but picked myself up. And it was interesting because the guys who, when I got on the chopper, the men who put me in the chopper a couple of years ago, when I came through Rainbow Reach, they were there and they're like, hey, don't go to Invercargill, we're not putting you in the chopper. And then I came back through Rainbow Reach and I was head to toe in mud, like completely covered in it. They were just shaking their head in disgust. Like there's two big southern men just like, you know. Finished 4 seconds. I wanted to do 7:30, you know, which is, that's the goal time that I had, and, you know, 7:59:56, so very happy. 7:29, sorry, God. 7:29:56. And I'm sore this morning, but very, very happy. And it's a good, like, I feel it's a middle finger to 2020, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. You look good coming across the finish line. You look happy.
Yeah, I felt happy.
You know, you looked happy. It was an achievement. And it felt good at the finish line. But I could tell that, you know, I mean, you were covered. Like, I saw you coming going, what has gone on? There was mud on your hat. It was all down your body. It was down your shorts.
Yeah. And I'd washed my face by that time. It was like completely covered.
Yeah. Like, so I was like, okay, what's happened here?
And it's another thing, you know, you try to keep your emotions in check. And I think what happened is, you know, I just coming out of Motoro Hut, it's about a K in, and I started thinking about my sister, and I kept quite controlled, and I felt really quite upset, you know, like I was like, oh my God, what a year, you know, and how could you have had the conceit to, I'll stop this run because I've had a tough year, you know, whatever, and I must have just taken my eye off the ball for a second, and it was a completely flat bit of trail, hit my foot, went over like a sack of shit, and these two women, God bless them, just was sort of dancing around me. You know, is he dead? Is he, you know? And I swear, I apologize if there's people are listening. I apologize for the profanity that came cascading out of my mouth.
Yeah, yeah. But you're left with, you've got a decent bruise on your thigh. You've got a scrape there. You've got a scrape on your knee.
Yeah.
You know, quite a good scrape on your knee, yep. and you've got a dinged up shoulder this morning.
Yeah, I do, but it was worth it.
Yeah, and you didn't get to go to Invercargill.
No, I didn't get to go to Invercargill, and you know, that's good.
Yeah. So, well done, mate. It was good race.
No complaints.
Good race.
What about, how was the grunt? It was, and I missed you being out there. Like, that's the thing. Part of it, and we talked about this last night, part of it was just like, and not, it's like, I want to be with my mate. You know, that's, and the, the years just left a different, everyone said it, but the years left a different taste in the mouth, isn't it?
About
what's important.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from this, because this is incredible. No,
it was amazing to be able to race. Yeah, absolutely. But there was a little bit of sense of, you know, I kind of lost my purpose. I lost my why on the way up. And I was sort of trudging up the mountain at one point thinking, look, this is cool and everything, but I'd rather just be on a run with my mate. I was loving the environment, you know, like, you know, it'd be cool to be running there with you. But it was just, I'd sort of lost my way a little bit. So I tried to, I sort of went out at the start, didn't try and push it too hard, just tried to hold back a little bit on that first 6K out to Broad Bay, or 5K out to Broad Bay. It was quite heavy traffic through there because we had the challenge people coming the other way.
Yeah.
And as well as the usual kind of traffic. And so there was, I had one hairy moment. I need to apologise to somebody who I went to overtake, and then someone was coming the other way and I had to duck in quite quickly. And it was not very good trail etiquette on my part. Sorry if you're listening.
Snaked by the podcast guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, but apart from that, everyone was really courteous, apart from me. Everyone was really courteous, and all of those front runners, the elites, were all saying how great everyone was stepping aside everything. And they were, everyone. You'd hear a call, runner coming, and then everyone would shuffle across to the left and head up there. So anyway, I just cruised it out to Broad Bay, and then I got into the climb, and I don't know, I'm not going to say I lost my will to live, but I lost my will to run, and I just kind of didn't feel it. I was just like, why? What this? I just don't feel good. I didn't, and I mean, the reason I'd gone down from the Kepler to the Luxmore was I knew I didn't have the fitness, and I really felt it on that climb. I just, and that kind of got me in a bit of a funk. I was like, oh man, I'm not fit enough. And but anyway, I charged on, and it's all relative, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Here I was going up the side of a mountain. Of course, I'm fit enough.
Yeah.
You know, but I got into a little bit of, you know, bit of a pity party. got out. I was excited that we were going beyond the tree line, and that was good. Sort of getting out in that bracing mountain air. And then at the hut, the volunteers up there. I mean, you couldn't help but feel good after talking to them, you know.
Such a lift, eh?
Yeah, such a lift. And thank you to all the volunteers out on the course. I mean, you guys, you know, it's so impressive. And so, you know, you're doing such a duty that we really, really appreciate. Absolutely. As runners. I mean, it was so cold yesterday in parts of the track, and there you were standing there for hours. So thank you. So that was energizing coming through. And then I turned around, started coming down the mountain, and the goal again was don't smash
all
my
your
legs
bickies.
Up.
Yeah,
and also, frankly, I'm not a very good downhill runner, so I was never going to be flying off the mountain. But so I kind of conserved myself, let people pass me. You know, we'll just pull aside and let people pass me if I'd hear them coming. And then a guy was running behind me from Ashburton, and we got chatting, and it was great because this just snapped me out of my, you know, pity party.
Absolutely.
You know, we were just talking about all sorts of stuff, as you do on the trail.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was the distraction I needed, because until that point I'd basically been running by myself most of the time.
Yeah.
And we just had a conversation, you know, just didn't even get each other's names.
Awesome.
But it was great. And then that sort of snapped me out of it, so that by the time I got to Broad Bay, and the plan all along was to just, okay, click into flat runner mode. I took off, and he said, see you later.
Yeah.
So I managed to get home a bit quicker, picked up a lot of people on that little stretch, and it was fun. Yeah, so I finished with 3:25. So
that's awesome.
I was happy. And, you know, at the end, I'm the highs and lows of that race are what they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And but at the end of the day, we got to run a race and we got to run up a mountain.
How good.
How lucky are we? Yep. We got to come to Te Anau and experience the town and help the town out in the way that we did of, you know, spending some money here and enjoying Southern hospitality. So I'm overall really grateful and chuffed. Thank you. So what about the elites? How did they go?
So in the Kepler Challenge, Dan Jones, who was backing up for a third potential Guns crack at the repeat at the W, 4:05.24. And last year was 4:26.34 because that's because he had to wade through most of it.
Just swim.
4:05.24 for 59 kilometres and 1,318 metres of elevation. Incredible.
Yep.
Charging. And he just, when you saw him, just looked composed, cheerful.
Relaxed.
Yeah. Like he almost stopped for, like he, you know, like high fives and everything. Just happy. Yeah.
Road shoes again.
Road shoes again. Yeah. Scotty Hawker coming through, working really hard. And, you know, amazing, I think, not to get far ahead, but you'll hear in the interview with him, you know, he talked about what he wanted to achieve in the race, and he definitely did.
Yeah.
4:19.20. Weston Hill in 4:30.04. Vajan Armstrong, 4:35.52. And Christian Day bringing it home for fifth in 4:43.18.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. And he was, you know, Scotty was second at the Luxmore Hut checkpoint, and, you know, he said he had to battle Vajan on the climb.
Yeah, he said that he was going up the climb, and then Vajan just sort of cruised up beside him, and he got a bit of a fright.
Yeah.
And he said he just had to hang on to Vajan for a while. But then obviously got ahead of him before they got to the hut, because it was, that's the way the timing chip shows us. I don't know if that's quite right, but anyway, that's the way it worked out. And so it was one and two stayed the same from there. But yeah, it was kind of interesting, wasn't it? Dan was very relaxed. And just again mastered that course. Scotty looked like he was having to work hard.
Absolutely.
And he was, and you'll hear from the interview with him that he had a goal in mind. So it's again, it was great to see the elites. You saw them
twice.
A couple of times.
Not for very long. And it's amazing. You think about, it's hard not to think about, you know, the context of your run and putting everything into perspective. You know, everyone did the same course. Everyone worked hard. Mm. But Dan's average speed up the hill, so up Mount Luxmore, was 5:20 per K, which is about my aerobic flat running pace.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he ran up that hill.
Yeah.
5:20 a K.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. My K splits were regularly over 10. So, you know, wow.
Woof.
And the women's race was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So we had Ruby Muir going for her eighth win, and Nancy Zhang lining up to repeat her 2018 success. And so Nancy, in last year, she set off like a firecracker, didn't she?
She did.
And then blew up. Well, this year she set off like a firecracker and she kept going.
Yeah.
So Nancy won in 4:59.47, which is amazing time, and great to get that second victory. And last year's time, Ruby won in 5:08, which when you think about the conditions last year, that was an amazing time from Ruby last year. But great, great race from Nancy. Ruby Muir was second in 5:01.55. Fiona Love, who you'll hear from, got up for third, 5:17.12. Sarah Reisman, fourth in 5:37.26. And Sue Crowley, 5:39.56. So, yeah, as we say, Nancy led from go to woe, but it did get to within 5 seconds or so at the bottom of the climb.
Yeah.
So that was a good race, and you know, what did it end up as? 2 minutes. So
they
really battled it out, didn't they?
And interesting, I was talking to, you know, she put it on her Strava. I was talking to Ruby yesterday at the pub, and she was saying she was basically throwing up the entire last 10K.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's you know, and she said, she just the privilege of running, and she said she was, you know, there was a disappointment there because she was training to get the record.
Yeah.
Because
of the course change. Because
of the course change.
Yeah.
And then, and she says, it's not like I had a bad race and Nancy had a bad race. We both had a really great race. So it was amazing. But she said, yeah, she was sick for the last 10K. Mm.
Was that just, did she say, was it
stomach
sort of
issues?
Just, okay. Yeah.
So incredible to be still running that
pace. Fiona Love, what a race.
Yeah, what a race.
You know, she started conservatively. She was in eighth place at Broad Bay. And then she worked her way up to third by the control gates.
Yeah.
You know, once she'd gone up the hill and come back. And then she stayed there.
Incredible.
And she said that the last bit coming home, she was running scared
because
she didn't know where fourth place was, where Sarah was in fourth. But as it turns out, she had a 20-minute lead. So well done, Fiona. That's another podium place this year.
Absolutely.
She's got a stack of them this
year. She has. She's really been, she's been kicking it this year.
Yeah. Right. Well, in the grunt, you know, Sarah Douglas, 2:12:19. She's the, you know, she just owns the grunt, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She, you know, they might as well just.
Queen of the grunt.
You know, the royal of the grunt.
Yeah,
they might as well just put her name on the trophy every year. She's you know, she ran 2:12:19, which I think is a PB for her on the grunt. 2:23 last year. Maddie Dillon, second in 2:21:21. Nice.
Wow, that's a big margin, eh?
Yeah, it is. And Sabrina Grogan, 2:21:33. So. Sarah led from go to woe, and she was fifth overall, which, you know, it's a remarkable run from her. And again, she just looked so in control. Chatting to her afterwards, she said that she felt like she put it all together until the last K when the wheels came off.
Huh.
And she just, it was a great run, really, really great run. And the second and third, they changed places.
Describe that. It's so in the men's results, we get Jono Jackson. Yeah. Sorry, tap the mic. Jono Jackson in first in 1:56.08, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, local legend Dwight Greve.
Yeah.
2:06.27. And Sam Manson in 2:07.23. Now tell it, you know, we saw Jono pass that, coming back down, and he was floating again, looking really relaxed.
Look, I wasn't even sure he was touching the trail. Yeah. I mean, I was considering taking some footage and complaining to the race committee that this guy wasn't even actually running, he was just flying.
Yeah.
He was absolutely floating on air. He just looked, he just sort of breezed past effortlessly. Whereas Dwight and Sam, who, you know, they finished a good 10 minutes back from Jono, so absolute respect to him for that. That's an amazing victory there. But Dwight and Sam, so they came down the mountain. They were working.
Yeah.
They were working. And they looked like a couple of rabid mountain lions charging down the hill just in full, they are on the hunt mode, and they were hunting each other because they, I think, where did I had it up before.
Dwight was leading quite considerably going up because
second and third.
Passed them going down.
Yeah.
Like they were coming up and Dwight was
ahead of Sam.
And that Sam was like,
I'm going to call it up because
his tongue was hanging out. It was amazing.
Oh yeah. They were absolutely laying it down, weren't they? Just going for it. And when you look at the splits, so at the 5K, Sam was ahead of Dwight by neck and neck, but 2:20:31 they both had, but Sam ahead of Dwight. At the 14K, which is up at the hut, Dwight had got ahead, 1:13:01 to Sam's 1:13:23. At the 22K, which is Broad Bay, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sam had got ahead, so he'd passed Dwight 1:44:24 to Dwight's 1:44:48. So Sam came down that mountain like a skinned cat. Is that a thing? Anyway, but then of course Dwight got past Sam on the flat and ended up with that victory margin of, you know, close to a minute. So what racing? And it was the same in the women's. When I look at that, hang on, sorry.
Maddie and Sabrina.
Do, do, do. Yeah, absolutely. So at the 5K, it was Sabrina ahead of Maddie, by quite a margin, 2207 to 2251. And then by the 22K, yeah, the 22K, sorry. Yeah, she and at the 22K, Sabrina was still ahead, 155.17 to Maddie's 155.26. So,
wow.
So Maddie had a spectacular last 5K to get past, to make up that ground and get past, and pretty close in the end. But, you know, what racing, spectacular racing.
Amazing.
Yeah, but, you know, Sarah and Jono just dominant in their performances. You know, I mean, I said to you, I maybe because I was in the race itself, but I was feeling, I felt that Sarah's was performance of the weekend. It was my favourite
absolutely.
Performance
Me
of
too.
The weekend.
Yep, dead set favourite performance of the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Dan and Nancy with their wins in the Kepler and Jono in the Grant as well,
yep.
But to run the way she did, get a PB,
yeah.
Hats off to Sarah.
Exceptional, yeah. Exceptional, yeah. Calling it. And yeah. Look, we have had a lot of people on Dirt Church Radio.
We have.
We were just going back through and going, gosh, we've had a lot of people on Dirt Church Radio. And there was a bunch of people who'd been on Dirt Church Radio, who ran the Kepler and the Grunt. And so these are the results. So Dave Beach, he came through in 5:34.38, which is incredible.
Ahead of Ironman.
Yeah.
Tarawera race, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew McDowell, 5:38.20.
If you don't know who Andrew McDowell is, you don't listen to Dirt Church Radio.
Grant Guys, 2:23.05 in the Grunt. Steve Tripp, 6:05 in the Kepler, and I got to run out with him. That was really cool. Andrew Glennie, 7:29.50. Now, he might be a runner-up for performance today because he was working real hard, and he passed me in the last, I'd say 600 metres.
Yeah.
And was really cool and was like, come on, let's go, let's go. I was like, no, dude, you got it, go.
He made up a lot of ground because we were watching the splits. I was with Adam Keane, who didn't run but got up the mountain and was handing out tequila again.
Yep, absolutely.
So I was seeing, and we were watching the splits and we could see that Andrew was quite a way off you and then he brought it home strong.
Yeah. Dan Jones took a shot of tequila at the top.
You're kidding me.
No.
You are kidding me.
No, he did. He did. That's the thing. Take the shot of tequila, people. If it's going to work out for you, take the shot of tequila. You're not going to come to any harm.
As Adam would say, what a savage.
Yeah, what a savage. What a savage, absolutely. So Andrew, 7:29.50. Sally Law, 8:19.33. Sarah Hillary, 8:01.30. And Tony Page, 6:10.19. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing. What was the best thing about Kepler for you, Matt?
It's the people. I know that sounds really kind of the, of course you say it's the people and it's the, so doing it, you know, like it's hard not to feel, we're talking about all these things and surrounding yourself with people all the time who are much faster than you. It's hard not to feel quite pedestrian a lot of the time. However, working to a plan and sticking to it and the people and the interactions, you know, and one very powerful one, which I was very, not going to go into details, which I felt incredibly quite humble, just tried not to burst into tears at the time the person shared with me what they did. And it wasn't related to podcasts or anything like that. It was a very 2020 race, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Some real dark moments, some highs. And and got there in the end. So but the people that was what really did it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just love catching up with so many people. You know, seeing a bunch of people who we kind of only see once a year getting down south. It was so fun, and I enjoyed, you know, spending time in Tiano. It's a town that's been hit hard by COVID and by the floods that they had.
Absolutely.
So it felt good to be down here and supporting the town. But the race itself, good fun. I was kind of ran about the middle. I'm proudly a mid-pack runner.
Yeah.
There you go. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. On balance, had the dark moments there, but that's what racing's about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Thank you. And just the amount of people who said, I really enjoyed the energy that you had from the out and back course. For all it was a disappointment to people who wanted to do the full circuit of Kepler, the benefit is that you get to go past each other so many times. Us grunt runners get to see you Kepler runners, and you draw energy each time off every interaction. So, look, the other thing we did was we recorded a live show, and that was a bunch of fun, and a huge crowd turned
out. Huge crowd turned out. It was amazing.
Yeah. One thing we didn't do very well.
Was sell our T-shirts.
Thank you.
So we have merch. We're terrible. We're just terrible. So when we get back to Auckland, we're going to bang them up on the internet. If you want a T-shirt, they're $39.95 plus postage. And get at us.
We'll do it on socials. We were terrible. We had them there at the live show. We kind of forgot about them. They were stashing the bag at the back.
And then we didn't really want to sell them to people.
And then at the end, people were like, hey, have you got those T-shirts? And we're like, oh, yeah. No, look, don't worry about it. Anyway, we're terrible salesperson. We're terrible capitalists, really, aren't
That's
we?
That's right.
So anyway, get amongst it if you want a T-shirt. Have a look for it on social media. And we'll put it on the website as well, actually. We'll sort that out. But yeah, that was bad. But apart from that, it was a good live show. And I really enjoyed it. And I think we should just get into it.
Let's get into it. Digits Radio.
Are you centred?
I'm centred.
All right. Kia ora everyone and welcome to the annual general meeting of the Fiordland Lobster Company.
Are we passing any resolutions this year?
We're exceeding the occupancy, which is amazing. Look, thanks all for coming.
Yeah, this is amazing. I think we've more than doubled last year's capacity, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was three last year.
It was three, so we got a few and two of those were crush the cargo. Hang on, turn up.
Oh, yeah, volume. Yep. All right. Andrew McDowell. God. You know, you get someone here to run the sound and it's no good.
He's hanging at the back talking to Scotty Hawk like, I'm fast too.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your body fat percentage? Like,
So this is Andrew McDowell. We might as well introduce him.
Give him a round of applause, everyone, actually.
So if you haven't listened to the horror show of our early episodes, go back and do that. I'm number two. I'm number one. Yeah.
Can't be any worse.
He listened to our early episodes and got in touch with us straight away and said, look, I like what you're doing, but your sound. And he's a sound magician.
Look at this. This is actually.
Yeah. He's actually a remarkable musician, composer, sound dude who has his own company, DigiCake, not DigiBake. Anyway, he's fixing us.
You're good. Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Can you hear us at the back?
Is that better?
Yeah. All right. So.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Andrew. Yeah. When he's not doing this, he'll be out speeding around the course tomorrow. So, well, somebody yelled out the guy in the green jacket. So I suppose that means that we should clarify.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you're here to see Fiona Love and Scotty Hawker and Steve Norris, but I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
And this is Dirt Church Radio, the Kepler 2020 live show.
So, yeah, as we said, we've got some amazing guests today. Thank you. And we're also here for a run, aren't we?
Who's running tomorrow?
Yeah, wow. You're all registered?
Yeah. Who's just excited to be here?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's been, I mean, this race has taken up a lot of space in a lot of people's thoughts. I'm sure this year it's taken up a lot of space in my thoughts and for a lot of reasons. And you know, we're here and now we understand that for the fourth time in history, the 34 years it's been running, there's an alternate course tomorrow, which seems like it's now the original course is now the alternate course.
Yeah, they're calling it the actual course now.
The actual course.
Yeah.
The 2020 course.
The alternative course will be when you get to go over the loop. So I'm doing the grunt. Well, but everyone's doing the grunt this year. It's just that some of you have to do a little bit extra as well. So thanks for joining me on the grunt, everyone.
Tomorrow, everyone is Eugene Bingham for a while.
Yeah.
As frightening as that is.
And we'll also have the that moment of people always yell out, go Matt, to me. And do they yell out, go Eugene, to you?
No.
So I'm just Matt. We've got two Matts.
There we go. But look, let's cut the discourse and let's get Steve Norris up here to have a chat to us. So Steve is what is your official title? The chairperson of the chairman of the Kepler Race Committee.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Norris.
Yeah, it's great to see you all here, folks. Awesome.
Yeah, we're all here. That's the good thing. So, second year in a row, you've had to make this tough decision. Can you just talk us through why is the decision you've made?
made.
Gosh.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, last year was very clear cut. You know, on Wednesday, it was ankle deep on the main street of Te Arau, basically. And so, yeah, like the water levels were just coming up and the forecast was atrocious. This year, obviously, the water levels, you won't be running through water as in, you know, knee deep, waist deep water. And so it's just the forecast is like not great, you know, simply just not great. So then you've got to think the runners, the volunteers, and if something goes wrong, can the helicopter get up there to get someone off? And so three obvious questions, and then, yeah, it's an obvious answer.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's that alpine section right up on the top there.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I mean, there's 14, 15 kilometres in the alpine. It's not just like 20 minutes. You know, for a lot of runners, it's a good, you know, two and a half hours. So it's not just 20 minutes in the alpine.
Yeah. And the other point we were talking earlier about, it's not like you're in tramping gear or kitted up.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, there was three ladies that walked across the tops 2 days ago. I don't know if anyone was driving down, but I think the whole South Island just about got blown across the Pacific Ocean, you know. And they were young, fit ladies, packs on, and they pretty much crawled most of the way across the tops.
Wow.
You know? That's... I'm not saying it's not going to be as windy as that tomorrow, but, you know, that's... Yeah.
That's the scale of what can happen.
Yeah,
up there.
And they've got 12 to 15 kg packs on their backs as well to help hold them down.
Yeah.
And so talk us through that process. Is that do you get together as a committee? And because it's a difficult call to make.
It is. You know, so obviously you're looking at the weather the last 4 or 5 days. We met in this room 6:30 last night. There was eight of us. And, you know, within 2 minutes it was pretty obvious the decision. And then we just... Ben talked about, you know, managing the event, thinking of the alternate course.
Mm. And so the alternate course was run last year, so you've got that sort of experience. What sort of feedback did you get from last year and what can people expect tomorrow?
Yeah, like, to be honest, last year was a bit exceptional because of the water levels, you know. I mean, the one lady I spoke to was sort of literally up to her chest. You know,
well, he ended up swimming.
Yeah. Complete submersion. Yeah. This European woman went, "You're going off the track!" And I just turned around totally so I went, "You're going off the track!" And that's all I had to move. But yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
So, except it was more like... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so like last year, honestly, people were literally buzzing when they got off the track because it was so different, like so different. But we have run it one other time previously, and I remember that time, people, even though it's second prize, it's a good second prize because you're seeing the leading runners, you're seeing your friends, you know, because you're sort of crossing each other 2-3 times in the event. So it's actually, it's a lot more social course, yeah, as opposed to a loop when you don't see your friends.
And it's no joke, right? I mean, the run is difficult. Hot tip, don't run off the mountain like a dickhead. Like, you've got a long way to go once you get to the control gate.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's 59 kilometres, so the actual, if you run the whole loop, it's 60 kilometres, so you're still running the same distance, or give or take a kilometre, but, you know, like, it's not like 40 kilometres. It's still 59 kilometres.
Yeah. So is there anything different from last year this year?
Not dramatically, other than the water level, obviously, we'll talk about. Don't bring your goggles, won't be required this year. And I think last year there was a few eels, you know, cruising the track, you know. So, you know, you hopefully won't have that. I remember a few years ago we had falcons nesting and they were dive bombing runners, you know, so we haven't heard of any additional hazards like that this year.
So it's been a funny old year, I think we can say. That's the best way to describe it. And Te Arau has been hit really hard because no international tourists here, plus you had the floods.
Yep.
You guys have really socked it. So how are you guys coping?
Yeah, no, like in all honesty, you know, like, I mean, we own a tourism business, my wife and I, and, you know, if we hit 10% of what we did in November last year, that's going to be a good result. You know, so, and that's reflective of, and I'm not, you know, trying to break out violins or anything, but that's just a reality, you know, and you knew it was coming. So it's just fantastic to see, you know, close to 2,000 people in Te Arau for the weekend because, you know, that's 2,000 cups of coffee, it's 2,000 meals, it's probably, you know, I don't know, maybe 400 or 500 motel rooms that are getting used. So it's great for the town. It's a real injection into the economy.
And it's the race itself is a fundraiser too for the town.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, I mean, I'm standing here as a volunteer, you know, like the whole organising committee, we're just volunteers. And any money we make goes back into town, you know, so it's, yeah. So, and, yeah, I was just saying, you know, we're probably saving ourselves $10,000 on the helicopter flying bill this year. So,
I mean, so cloud, not all,
it's a golden lining there for some organisation in Te Arau. So, you know, we've got more money to give away. Simple as that.
And how do you allocate? Like, the is it do people make submissions to a trust? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we just literally chuck an ad in the local, you know, newspaper and on Facebook, and we just say put an application. And the stipulations are the Te Arau Basin, you know, so the money stays in the community. And, you know, it's just great. Like, this time next year when you come back, there'll be a climbing wall here. And it's going to cost, you know, anywhere between, depending how much money. Well, they've got enough, $250K now to build it, but they're trying to get to 400. Then you got the super-duper version. And it's 10,000 gone to that. And the other 10,000 we've given away went to, can't think off the top of my head, but, you know, but we give money like to swimming pool, kindergartens, you know, like, 101 organisations, which is great, because I always say, you know, to earn 10K, it's a lot of sausage sizzles on a Saturday morning, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Could the climbing wall be an alternative course B?
You know, absolutely.
We can't do the full course this year. We can't do the alternative course, but you can come and climb the wall.
We might divert the race through town and do a loop at a climbing track.
And are you, so it's the same format as last year?
Absolutely. Roughly. Yeah. So obviously, like, the start's been pushed back an hour to 7 a.m. for the challenge. And the grunt's been pushed back 2 hours to 9 a.m. just to relieve the congestion on that part of the track. But, yeah, same time, same place as last year if you were here.
Brilliant. And come to the safety briefing at
7:30 tonight downstairs. And, yeah, we'll update everyone there on the latest and greatest news. And, yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, I'm sure you hate this, but, look, thank you so much for all the work that you do and your committee does. It means a lot to your town. It means a lot to myself and Eugene and all these people here. So, yeah. Steve, thank you very much.
No, pleasure, and thanks for coming. That's the main thing. Same time next year. Just to give you an idea, like, we had online entries this year, as we do the first Saturday in July every year. And, you know, with COVID and that, we thought, yeah, I wonder, because no certainty that the event could be on, knowing what was happening in the future. Event filled out in 2 minutes and 6 seconds. so we thought it would fill up, but like 2 minutes and 6 seconds for the challenge and 3 minutes and 43 seconds for the grunt. So,
yeah. Wow.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's incredible. So thank you. So put your hands together for Steve Norris. Thank you.
Right, work to get off to. He's got actual work to get off to now.
Yeah, actually
standing somewhere
jibber
jabbering.
No, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So on to our next guest, Fiona Love. Fiona, do you want to come up? Come on, we can pass the mic out to you, but it'd probably be a bit weird.
So we first met Fiona when she turned up at one of our live shows at Halitau and hid down the back. But this time around,
she's hiding in the middle.
Convince her to come up the front. So Fiona Love, everyone.
Hey.
So Fiona's a former Ironwoman, former Brit. Can we call you that now? You've been here 5 years.
I don't know. I'm nearly Kiwi. In January, I'll be Kiwi. Fully
Kiwi. Fantastic.
She's born in Italy.
Yeah.
But all around, and it, sorry, but, well, that came out wrong.
And?
And all around good sort. So last time we spoke to you in episode 54, I think it was.
That's right. That was.
You were based in Auckland, but you're down these parts now.
Yeah, I'm now a Wanaka resident. And so, yeah, loving life on the mountain trails.
Brilliant. What brought you to Central Otago?
So like a lot of people, 2020 has turned out slightly differently. So I had a job in tourism up in Auckland, and obviously we're lacking international tourists right now. So my role went, significantly reduced. So during COVID, I had just a bit of time on my hands to think about what I could do. And I decided I'd never had the opportunity to live in the mountains and do a snow season. So I came down to Wanaka with the idea that it would just be for a few months and do the part-time work, part-time live on the snow. And then I kind of got suckered in and I'm still down there and got a job with Tourism Central Otago promoting the cycling trails. So I managed to stick in tourism and, loving life on the mountains.
That's brilliant. And you were telling us about some of the trails that are about to open as well. Like, we all know about the Otago Rail Trail, for instance, but there's more on offer.
Yeah, so those of you who live for locals, Lake Dunstan is the next cycling trail on the agenda, and it's an amazing trail. Like, if you're coming through from Cromwell to Alex, you'll see it on the other side of the road, and it's like stuck into the mountains, so it's hardly visible, but it's beautiful. They've done an epic job, and we did a photo shoot there on a part of the new trail on Tuesday this week. And it's, yeah, epic, really stunning. So if anyone's coming down this way and needs to, or would like to do some cycling trails, from the summertime, it should be fully open. It's like 73Ks worth of cycling trails or running trails or walking trails, depending how you want to challenge yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And although, I mean, you're based down in Wanaka now, but you're still making it up to the Big Smoke occasionally. You did the
yeah.
You did the Rodney.
Oh, from that.
The Rodney Coastal Challenge, and you took a wee stumble, obviously.
Yeah.
But bagged second place. I mean, how's it been getting back into a bit of multi-sporting?
Yeah, it's fun. So I signed up for Coast to Coast just because it's one of those things that every Kiwi seems to do. So I was like, why not? And yeah,
so Kiwis in the room, who's done Coast to Coast? Oh fuck.
Exactly. It's a normal thing to do in New Zealand. So I've set myself, yeah, up for trying to learn how to kayak this year. So obviously triathlon was easy. I can bike, I can run, I can swim. But kayaking is a totally different ball game. And the Waimak is a totally different river to anything anyone would have kayaked before. So yeah, I did the Rodney Challenge a couple of weeks ago back up in Auckland, which is my first kind of, I guess, initiation into multi-sport. And yeah, I took a fall off the mountain bike leg. Mountain bike isn't my skill, and on the gravel I just skidded around going too fast, and I managed to get gravel stuck in my arm for the last 3 weeks. And I had 5 visits to the nurse, and she was like, you must have been going fast. And I said, well, probably too fast for my ability, and that's probably why I fell. But yeah, so I've recuperated from that, and I've strained my rotator cuff, but I'm back in the kayak now, so it's good.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, for a year of cancelled races, you've had a lot of races this year and a lot of podiums as well.
Yeah, it's been a good year. Like, for most, I'd say, yeah, 2020 obviously isn't ideal. And yeah, me, where my family's in the UK, and work obviously has been challenging, but I'd say I've made the most of it. And I was lucky enough, I did the Old Ghost Road and Motu Tapu before COVID hit us. And then post COVID, I did the Dunedin Three Peaks, the 26K, whatever that was, and got third. And then a couple of weeks later did Rodney Challenge, and then the Piglet a couple of weeks ago, and I won that one. So yeah, it's been an awesome year. And I guess for us, we're just so fortunate. And every day I'm reminded when all my mates back in the UK and London, where they can't go outside, and well, they can go outside, but very, very much more restricted. Yeah, I just, yeah, feel very fortunate.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, isn't it?
Look at this. You know? I mean, this is incredible. And it feels odd to kind of highlight it again and again and again. But, yeah, if you all think about your whānau around the world, right? Like, who's doing this? No one. So it's really good. And tomorrow feels like a real celebration, eh? Like, I'm certainly really looking forward to it. What are you looking most forward to?
Well, I was hoping we might get out of running up Luxmore Grunt, but that's that's not possible. So I don't know. Like, just, yeah, I haven't done... I guess since the Old Ghost, I had a big kind of race, so it'd be quite fun to do that kind of side of things. And I was hoping for some epic countryside and things like that and views, but we might miss out on that as well. But no, it should be fun regardless.
Yeah, yeah, I think we'll get that little glimpse, hopefully, from the tree line. You still get, as long as the cloud cover's not in too low.
You can write a complaint. You can leave a Yelp
review.
I will.
I will. Yeah. Too much leave my trip advisor. Yeah. Cloud cover, no good. Hey, you, the opposite of mountain races, you got in amongst at one of the 09 races recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, around the streets of Auckland.
Yeah, for people who are not familiar with that format, can you explain what it is and how fun it was?
So 09 was set up by a bunch of guys up in Auckland, and it's basically like rugged road racing during the night through the streets of Auckland. So you get told where to meet, and usually it's at a pub to start with, like Halatau or somewhere like that.
Good start.
And then you get given a map of the points that you have to cover, where you start and where you finish. And yeah, there's maybe 3 checkpoints along the way, and you just have to do it in the fastest time. But it's mental. It's like, it's literally like 5 to 10K of pure speed. And I did it when I was back up in Auckland a few weeks ago, and we did it on the K Road. So you were running through the K Road when everyone was kind of going out to the bars and things like that. And there was like this 100 people literally flying down the road. We just looked hilarious. And my heart rate, I don't think it's ever been so high. Like, my first K was ridiculous, and it was fun, but.
Brilliant. So there's a bit of navigation as well, sort of city navigation.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too tricky, and we just, the one I did wasn't actually, there were a couple of checkpoints and it wasn't too tricky, but I had a friend, Bex Clark, who did it last week, and she managed to get herself lost a bit, so. possible.
Yeah.
And they sell out really quickly. Hey, they have a limited.
I think they've got limited numbers.
35 people or something.
Yeah, you get like a beer with your entry, and it's just like a niche little fun thing to do, and a once a month thing, is it?
I think so. Yeah, we had a friend who did it, who's a normal human being, and he said it was the most terrifyingly awful thing he'd ever done. And he didn't come last only because someone fell down and like broke their finger really badly, and still he had to fight to beat that person.
Yeah, I got.
So I think the bar's pretty high, right?
Yeah, like, I got asked beforehand. A friend was doing it a couple of weeks ago, and he messaged and said, "Should I do it? Will I come last?" I was like, "No, you won't come last. I mean, it's fast, but it's." There is a variety of kind of levels, I guess. I think we just get a bit used to
it. You'll come last, yeah. It's so fast, come on. So but that's good, right? It's good to kind of get
outside. Yeah. I bumped into you on the Tahinga, and you were here. Was that this year?
Christmas
time, yeah.
Which is 400 Earth years ago.
Yeah, that's right. You were talking about Chamonix, heading up to Chamonix at that point. So what have you been able to... What happens with those sorts of races? Can you
delay
your entry?
Yeah, so hence kind of moving down to Wanaka was one of the... So my international travel was, like everyone, off the cards. So I was supposed to go to Boston and do Boston Marathon in April and then go on to Chamonix in August to do the CCC and like spend a few weeks, possibly a month out in Europe. So that obviously didn't happen, but typical French style, I don't know if I can say that, but... they sent out a note, I think maybe left at the last minute, maybe May, June time to all entrants. And we had the opportunity to submit our desired outcome. So you could either choose for it to be postponed until like the end of this year, which was going to be very unlikely, for the race to go ahead but be adapted because things like aid stations wouldn't be allowed. But then I couldn't even fly there, so that wasn't going to be an opportunity. And then, or for it to be postponed until next year. So it's been postponed till 2021 with the idea that you, in January, we can resubmit. If you want to partake, you can and you get an automatic entry. But who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not holding my hopes up.
Yeah. Well, this weekend proves that 2020 has got a lot to throw at us. and it's thrown a lot at you, but you've got through it and had some fun along the way. So, yeah. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Give a love, everyone. Right. So our next guest probably needs... It's Andrew McDowell again. Just what are you doing? You're inserting yourself. Oh, geez. Scotty Hawker. Come up from the front, Scotty. So is it rude to say Scotty Hawker needs no introduction? Professional trail runner, UTMB, podium getter, all-round wonderful human being.
Your coach.
Yeah, Mike. Well, yeah, that too. That's probably not at the top of his resume. Like, he's like Matt Raymond's coach and other stuff. Yeah, no, it's probably not.
Like, not the top like of the 14. CV.
It's not in bold at the CV.
Scotty Hawker, everyone.
This is your, like... fourth time I think you've been on Dirt Church Radio.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So I love a good chat.
How are you, man? I mean, it feels I would like to do an interview without mentioning 2020, but 2020's been a massive change. I mean, this is probably the longest time you've spent in the country for quite some years.
Yeah, I haven't been far. I haven't been stuck. Well, I don't even want to say stuck in New Zealand because it's a pretty good place to be stuck. But yeah, I haven't been here for this long in probably close to 10 or 11 years, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, silver linings and all that, but yeah, it's been pretty awesome to be back home for a while, so.
And so you'd planned to come back with your family, right? So with your wife and your daughter. So you came back for the summer, and then were you planning on returning back to Europe?
Yeah, so the plan was basically to, come back. I think we'll come back in January from Europe, then we're going to be a couple of months back in New Zealand, and then a month in Australia, and then back to Europe again for the kind of 6 or 7 month season over there. But then COVID decided they were going to do what they're going to do, and obviously, you know, plans flipped on their heads, and sort of been here kind of ever since, really. So,
Was there a point where you just made a decision? I'll stop wondering whether I'm going. You know, it sort of feels like a life paused in a way. But do you just make a decision? Hey, I'm here, and it's not so bad.
Yeah, I was pretty to be honest. I was pretty stoked to be stuck in New Zealand. I had had sponsors going, "Hey, Scotty, when will you come back to Europe?" not anytime soon. I think I'm good, but no, it's one of those things. Like I could have gone to Europe and raced this year, albeit with a face mask and with like 10 other people. But for me, just I don't know, with a wife and daughter, I just thought it's not really kind of something I wanted to do. And also, I don't know, like for me, you know, racing's important, but it's not everything. And kind of like health and well-being is important and more important. So it's just, yeah, just kind of made a decision that, yeah, we'll kind of just hang fire here in New Zealand for a bit and, yeah, just kind of see what happens. And obviously, as we've seen with COVID, there's no lineal progression with it or, hey, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. So just kind of rolling with the punches for the meantime. So,
and I mean, we spoke to you during the first lockdown. And that does it. You're right. It seems like, it was a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, it was 10 months ago.
Yeah.
But, and it does seem like such a long time ago. And back then, you know, you were maintaining, you know, positivity and looking at that. Has your sort of world view around where you're headed changed now? Like, have you got plans, or is it you're going to get overseas as soon as possible?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's changed much in the sense of kind of, for me, thinking about what I do and why I'm doing it. Because I think at the core of it all for me, and probably for a lot of people, is like, yeah, like racing's cool, but it's, when, as I said, you meant like, is this much of it? You know, like, and yeah, I say to people all the time, like, if you race, I don't know, say 10 times a year, that's 10 runs. And if you're running 5 days a week, it's 250 something. I failed maths at school, but like, it's like, you're not right. I didn't fail maths, but anyway, but like you, it's what I'm getting is like, you're doing like 10 times a year. You're like, all right, like on December the, what are we, the 5th, 4th?
4th.
Like December the 5th at like 6 a.m., I'm going to be flipping awesome and on fire and run the race of my life. It's like, it's so much pressure and stress and everything else. And it's just kind of like, man, it's just part of the game. It's like you said, before, the celebration. Like, it's just go out there and do it. And so for me, it's kind of like, I mean, we're lucky here because we can still get into the mountains and we can still run and explore and kind of do all of that. But I think even for people running around their 5K radius in Melbourne or, you know, whatever else in the UK, hopefully when they can get out, it's like, we can still run, and that simplicity of just putting on shoes and running is still there, just in a different kind of format. So for me, it's just like, yeah, we're not racing, but I'm still kind of getting, you know, that fix or getting, you know, getting out there and being able to do what I want to do. So
You, when we spoke to you after UTMB, and you talked then about doing a lot of work on your sort of mental attitude and sort of your, I guess, your preparation, not just for racing, but for training and that as well. Yeah. So life. That must have come in really helpful this year.
It has, and yeah, I've been working on that a lot this year. There's, yeah, I mean, everyone's got their COVID stories and kind of what's been going on this year, and yeah, I've definitely been involved and had just a lot of life stuff happen and a lot of big changes. And yeah, I think I mentioned to you guys, like, I started speaking with she's like a mental endurance coach / sports psychologist, and it was really funny because this year, like, and last year before, like, UTMB, it's like, let's talk about running and racing and like what we're going to do and when and how we can approach this and that, and then this year, like, out of, I don't know, 30 phone calls, I think probably like 28 of them haven't been about running, and it's just been about other stuff. And it's one of those things, you know, like, it's just, this year's just thrown so many curveballs, and it's, you know, it's okay to feel a bit down about things. Like, it's, you know, we've missed out on races, people have missed out on weddings and funerals and everything and that. So it's just like, just been a lot of stuff going on. And so I think, yeah, that kind of mental health element and like looking after yourself has just, for me, has become more apparent. Because if I don't give it attention, it's just like, man, it just brews and boils, and then the outcome's obviously not good. So it's been, pretty important.
And what's the point, right? And that's the thing. Like, and if you're going to do a race and perform to a high level and you're not feeling it, what's the worth in
that? Exactly. That's it.
How's it been, and what have you noticed? I mean, you've been footing it this year with, like, the likes of Western Hill and some pretty... Sorry.
touchy subject, yeah.
And that's why I had to stand in the middle. Matt was like, I'm only going to ask that question if you stand in the middle.
Exactly. Yeah.
You wrote that question. Don't throw me under the bus. No, but like,
I love Western, by the way.
Western's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's it been like being back home racing against, you know, these men and women who
It's been awesome, like, to be honest. It's been kind of a really weird year for me racing, because normally, like, when I race, it's like kind of the focus races are kind of 100K plus kind of distances. So there'll be two or three of those a year, whether it's, you know, Madeira, Lavaredo, Hong Kong, UTMB, obviously. And so normally I chuck in these, like, you know, 50K races as like build-up races. And they're legit build-up races. They're anywhere between 4 and 6 hours of racing and a bit of a training run and stuff. And then this year, like, every race I've done has been around that, like, marathon of 50K, which it's kind of like, on one hand, like, I would have thought, like, hey, this doesn't really suit me, like, kind of what's the point trying to focus on this, but then part of me was like stuff it, let's just change up the focus and try and bash heads with some fast guys. And Weston is an incredibly fast guy, as I've found out, as I already knew that, but it's just been different, you know, like, different challenges this year, and like the shorter distance racing has kind of changed up training as well. Obviously I need to get faster and stuff like that as well, and it's just been exciting, to be honest, like racing for 4.5-5 hours and like I'm done. Like, yeah. I don't have to put on my head torch. I don't have to vomit. Like, this is awesome. Like, this is great. Like, you can go home and have lunch and dinner and wake up the next day and you're not walking like Tin Man. So it's been pretty cool, to be honest. Like,
what? No hallucinations.
Exactly, pretty much. Yeah.
No, what was it? Your esophagus came loose or something? Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. What has that change in training meant for you? Can you say what you've been doing differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think as probably guys already know, like I'm always been like a real low mileage trainer, but even like in the past, I've always just, and especially last year, 2019 was just kind of like a rebuild year. So it's always just been like running, getting consistency, getting strong and just staying healthy. Whereas because I kind of was able to do that last year, this year was kind of, the kind of focus was always get a little bit faster to then transfer that to the longer ultra stuff. Because I mean, as you guys know, and everyone knows, like the races are just getting faster and faster across the board now. You can't just like rock up to a race and go, oh yeah, I'll just have a pretty good race and run strong and I'll probably go okay. So no, you gotta be there to perform and, you know, watch what other people are doing. And the whole speed overall is just getting faster and faster. So despite my hamstrings kind of not being too happy, I've been doing a bit of speed work and doing some flat intervals and tempo and some hill stuff as well. Which for me, it kind of sounds crazy, but like for me to be able to go like week after week after week doing like a Wednesday like training session is like a big thing, because it just hasn't been something that's been able to happen in the past. Because of, you know, different body issues or just, you know, other stuff going on. So, it's been quite fun and just kind of getting into the numbers a little bit more in the sense of, you know, times and splits and stuff and that. So, yeah, it's just been quite refreshing, actually, to be honest, just picking some shorter distance stuff. And even as you mentioned Western before, you know, like it's kind of been a case of, like, normally I'm running races, I guess, that I'm really comfortable in racing, in the sense it's like it's a long ultra, it's mountainous, it's technical. Like, that's kind of my go-to or my wheelhouse type thing, whereas these, like, dare I say, short ultras aren't kind of what I choose to be, you know, specifically focusing on. And so it's been really cool because, like, you know, Western beat me at Mount Difficulty and then he got me again at Crater Room. but, no, it's been motivating and it's just been, yeah, really cool. And so then, like, since Crater Room, I'm like, man, I need to beat Western. Like, I'm getting sick of getting beaten by this guy. But it's good. It's been motivating and, you know, like, and he's a good mate and we'll, you know, have a beer afterwards. And it's just, yeah, it's been really cool just to have a different focus and the motivation, I guess, coming from somewhere different. And then also knowing, I guess, the athlete that I am now, despite how kind of messed up this year has been with COVID, like to think that I can take, like, I guess this athlete now into hopefully 2021 with some longer mountainous ultras is, it's pretty exciting, to be honest.
Mm. So what are you expecting tomorrow? Can you give away any tips? Or you, I mean, Weston might be listening, you know. But what are you going to be doing tomorrow? What's the goal?
Oh, I'm going to send it. Yeah, like straight up. Like honestly, like I could read an email from my coach before I emailed him. I was like, oh, so we've got a course change. It was going to be, I put it on Instagram. It was going to be like a short, fast ultra, and now it's a slightly shorter, faster ultra. But the reality is like I don't have the leg speed of couple of the other like speedsters, shall we say. And so for me to go, you know, for me to get to like 30k, 35k and go, you know, shake hands and go, we'll see who's the fastest. It's like, I know how that story ends. So yeah, hopefully I can, ruffle a few feathers on the climb and the descent and still shake hands and then say, you know, let the best man win. Sort
good
of
luck.
Thing. So,
yeah.
And to be honest, that's not my race approach, but also it's kind of like, it's going to be awesome. You know, it's either going to be fireworks and awesome or it's going to be fireworks and carnage. So we'll just see what happens.
And I think the great thing is we're all going to get to vicariously live that trauma.
To see that. You can pick me up at the 30K mark.
Yeah, it's awesome. Not going to happen. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, that's so 2020 though, isn't it? It's going to be so good. And I have a question, and it's kind of a behind the scenes. Are the big races planning for next year already? Are you getting people like, hey, we're hoping that with
there's been a lot of talk. I think a lot of the kind of, I guess, the Ultra Trail World Tour races and big kind of international races, I'd say without a doubt they'll be going ahead in some shape or form.
Right.
And so I guess as an international athlete, anyone who would normally compete in those races is probably just going to have to decide, am I going to head to Europe and kind of, you know, do things a bit differently, travel a bit differently, participate probably a bit differently with different restrictions and stuff. But yeah, definitely the big races are probably going to be on in some capacity. So it'll be interesting to see how it all kind of unfolds and stuff. But something to look forward to.
What about the this year we've seen the proliferation of FKTs? You must have watched some of that with interest.
Yeah.
There's been some amazing stuff laid down, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's been some insane stuff laid down. And I think I don't know, it's been kind of cool to see, because it's like even like really emphasize even more the fact like you don't have to have a race number on to do something cool or to have something dangling in front to like train for or be motivated for and kind of go and do. And yeah, it's definitely sparked a bit of a flame, I guess, with regards to me kind of being back home and, you know, kind of potential options. So yeah, there's definitely something hopefully planning to do before before I leave New Zealand again with Western. And so yeah, so now we've been chatting a bit and thought, you know, try and do something pretty cool before we hopefully both head back to Europe again. So
wow, yeah, oh, that so looks that sounds place. Exciting.
Yeah,
that sounds genuinely exciting.
I
was going to ask you, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow? I know you said you're going to send it, but I mean, how many Keplers have you done?
Oh, I've done one. I ran it with the old man in 2014, I think. So it was like I was supposed to race it that year, like, you know, for myself, whatever. But then I had a massive season and got to November or what it was, and I was just like, I'm not racing Kepler. Like, my body was just destroyed and I was just tired and everything from travel. And then, so yeah, Dad had already had the entry fan, so I thought, why not, you know, run it with him and, you know, have a good time and good memories and stuff. So, yeah, so, what, 6 years ago now was the one and only time I've been down here. And, yeah, so it's going to be probably slightly faster this time.
What are you going to say? You've got a time to beat. You've got a time. Pressure's on, mate.
Exactly.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, so no, it should be, really looking forward
don't
to
be
that.
Too destroyed when you get back to the control gates.
Exactly. Yeah, need to save the legs, so, yeah.
What's, I mean, somebody, your coach is up here, but what's it been like this year dealing with runners, you know, that you coach? How have people been coaching?
It's obviously been different, and I don't know, like, I guess for me, like, as a coach, like, I like to think that I'm more than just a coach in the sense of, like, you know, hey Matt, hey Frank, hey Bob, Mary Elizabeth, whatever, here's your training plan, peace out, we'll catch up in a couple of months, whatever. And so for me, I guess it's been more about just like, how can I kind of like offer more of myself to my clients in the sense of like, how are you going? You know, like yeah, running's cool, but like, how's everything else going? Like, are you okay? And all that kind of stuff. And just kind of, I don't know, just again, just sort of like simplifying things. And if people are having bad days, weeks, whatever, like, it's okay to press pause for a bit, you know, and like just deal with what you need to deal with. And I think like with anything, like if things aren't in balance, it's like you can't do justice to kind of anything that you're trying to do. And so I think for me, it's just been kind of trying to, yeah, just I guess where I see fit, trying to kind of step in and provide a bit of, you know, communication, thoughts, whatever, and just trying, I guess, help people through this kind of tough time as best I can. And also trying to be creative as a coach with regards to, you know, motivation and training plans and training sessions and, you know, FKTs and, you know, little 5K tempo time trials that people can do or whatever it might be. So, yeah, just trying to sort of, keep it fun for people. And, it's definitely been an interesting year. Like, when COVID hit, I was like, well, okay, Scotty's not a coach anymore. Like, that's kind of, thought that'd be like one of the first things gone. But it's actually been the opposite. I've been, like, this year's been the busiest I've ever been with coaching. And so, yeah, I think people are just, getting outdoors more and exploring more and, you know, needing to be, I guess, guided along that process a little bit. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool.
We were talking last night, weren't we, with the explosion of runners, especially over that first lockdown in New Zealand. Physios must have had a ball.
ACC are just like COVID. Like, what did you do to us? Like, and it is, but it's awesome at the same time, though, because I think even just like the beginning of lockdown, like, you go out for a run, you're like, man, where did all these people come from? Like, far out.
I was like, get out of my forest. What are you doing? You're in my trails. Yeah. Normally, like, we all own that. No, mine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it wasn't. But it's kind of like, I don't know, like, it's been, it's just sort of guy, do you guys follow a guy called Gary Vee on Instagram? Gary Vee, he's like this US motivational Insta dude, whatever. And he posted this thing the other week saying, like, don't hate on the year that woke you up. And it was just like, I was like, that's so true for so many people. It's like all of this chaos, all of this carnage, but like, the amount of good stuff that it's kind of then promoted or kind of got the wheel spinning with. I think whether you're a runner or whatever, you can like apply that too. I think it's just so true. And I think for a lot of people, like, you know, whether it's running, walking, mountain biking, kayaking, whatever, just that like wake up like, hey, I've got one body, let's look after it and get it moving and be healthy and all
and
that
kind of stuff. And
whatever
way you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think, it's definitely been, you know, another, I guess, silver lining, throughout this year. So.
Brilliant. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you so much for coming. Scotty Hawker. Give a big hand for Scotty Hawker. All right, look, well, and thank you all very much for coming. Please have the best time tomorrow. Keep yourself safe. If someone cracks it on the trail in front of you, you know, stop and pick them up and make sure they're okay. And go get some dinner and get to race registration. And thank you very much. And we'll see you tomorrow. That's us.
We got to get to the sand fly to have some breakfast.
We are.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we're on social media, as always, at Dirt Church Radio, and you can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms, and you can download direct from the website, which is dirtchurchradio.com. If we're not where you want us, let us know. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us. If you like what you see, spread the love. It'd be as great as for many people who heard the show as possible, and for that, we need your help.
Don't forget to write in with your greatest run ever, and thank you to the people who have done so, and thank you to those who came up to us and said, I have sent you a greatest run ever.
And thank you to the very kind person.
Yes.
Who, in the midst of Nicola with the pram run.
Yeah.
And we got some delicious chocolate from her. We got a Christmas present, which thank is just
you
lovely.
You don't have to do that if you send in a greatest run ever, but if you do, it's nice. Thank you. We love hearing those, and people love hearing them. People always say to us they love greatest run ever. So send them in, people.
Thank you to our sponsors, Scott Running for the Faster.
Did you just yawn?
I'm sitting here in my undies, man. I yawned. Thank you to Scott Running. Sorry for that disturbing. I am clothed. I do have a top on. Scott Running for the Faster, Spring Energy and Cieli. And thank you to our Patreon supporters and Wild Things. Thanks to Kieran, our editor. And we've got some great guests lined
up. Great
guests. Closing out the year on a high.
Yep.
So please tune in and ka kite.
Ka kite.
Thanks, Rigby.